Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Luke and Pete Show. It's Thursday, the 27th of October. I'm Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by a lovely, furry Luke Mowat. He's got a bit of a cold, though, so apologies if he sounds a bit sniffy.
Yeah, all right. Is that an impression of me, is it?
It sounds a bit like this, don't you? We did a lovely little live Twitch stream last night. Yeah. I had a lot of fun, Luke. I quite enjoyed chatting while the football was on. And broadcasting to literally nobody because I put it on a private channel that
Pressure's
I didn't want
off.
Anyone
Relax,
to see.
Relax, just enjoy it.
Pressure's off, just enjoy it.
Pete, did it make you respect me more as a broadcaster?
It made me respect you more as a broadcaster.
You can't convince yourself of that. You said that sentence.
Yeah,
it's like
I looked out the window. It was a squirrel jumping around on the fence, and I thought, that's more interesting than pretending that I respect.
No, that is more interesting, definitely.
That is more interesting.
It was fun. We might do a bit more of that in the future for those listening who are football fans. Look out for updates of us talking about football on the football streams while the games are happening. Why not?
Yeah. Oh, no!
What's up?
I've rubbed chili oil in my eye. That's a disaster, isn't it? Oh, dear.
Will he get through the rest of the show? Stay tuned to find out. You
could
do it with one
eye. I could do it with one eye.
You don't read the running order anyway.
I don't need the depth perception. Yeah, but I put my... I print out the running order on a really long bit of paper. You know those old ones you got on a dot matrix printer that's completely endless?
Like Jack Kerouac did.
Yeah, and I just sort of spread it out and I don't even bother pulling the paper towards me. So I need to be able to see... In the future. I'm so tired.
Yeah, you okay?
We had a late night last night because Jim can't work an Ethernet cable, so I was so tired. Jim,
you know, on the road. So my point about Jack Kerouac there is that, you know, On the Road, that classic piece of like mid-century American literature.
Sort of thing that people sort of go, you should read, and then I look at it and I go, I can't be arsed.
Yeah, it's one of those things where. Like when you read it as a young person, it's kind of really fascinating and quite interesting. I think if I read it now, I wouldn't chime as much. But anyway, the point being that Jack Kerouac famously wrote that story on one continuous manuscript, which came up for auction about 20 years ago and was sold for, I think, about $2.5 million. So
wow. Okay. Yeah. So one continuous, as in piece of paper that was just really, really long.
Yeah, okay, I'll show you. I'll send you a little pic.
Okay. All right. Where are you going
to
put that?
Yeah, pic? So it's quite interesting to think that he wrote it in a way that is, you know, essentially like the style of the. So basically, I'm mumbling my words here, but basically, the way that Jack Kerouac wrote, he wrote it in a very stream of consciousness way. That's kind of what he's known for. And I just think it's quite interesting that he wrote it all on a continual manuscript, one piece of paper as well, to show that, I guess that shows that he really commits to that style, I suppose.
Where would you even buy that, though? Where would you even go? I just want an endless
Yeah, that's
piece
a good point. I didn't think about that. I've never considered that question. It's a very good one. Where does he buy a piece of paper that long?
But I guess if he's writing on the road, he's in the back. Does he travel by car, I presume? Is he kind of like...
I don't think he was writing it on the road. I think it's just called on the road and he wrote it afterwards.
Oh, I thought it was like that was the whole thing. He's kind of... Okay, right, fair. But I just the idea of him with a big roll of basically toilet paper under his arm that he's scribbling down at every juncture he can manage.
Maybe. Maybe it is. I think that would be a little bit of a stretch, though, I think. I think he wrote
in many ways. I think sort of the little Luke and Pete show we did a couple of weeks ago, where I detailed where I went on my road trip. Very similar in style. In
as
substance
impactful.
And in impact, yeah, exactly. Someone will turn that MP3 into an NFT and sell it in a few weeks.
Yeah, definitely,
time.
Mate. You should definitely do that. Yeah. So he wrote it in 3 weeks in April 1951, and he typed it on what he called the scroll, a continuous 120-foot scroll of tracing paper sheets that he cut to size and taped together. The roll was typed single-spaced, right, without margins or paragraph breaks.
Oh, so he typed it, so it was just a constant feed of paper.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I like that level of engineering. You'd have to be very specific and very delicate and specific with your taping, I suppose. Otherwise, it'll just get jammed in the old typewriter, and you'd be in trouble.
Well, listen, when people discuss that great work of semi-fiction, people rarely talk about the logistics behind how it was actually done. And I think that's a shame. I think that's a real stain on the conscience of the commentariat that they haven't covered that vital part of the production of the book. I think you're totally spot on there.
And I will be creating a compendium of Luke and Pete's show running orders. Actually, we can't because it's a Google Doc that changes every couple of days.
Let's go for the revision.
And I'll be selling that. Yeah, I'll be printing that out and selling it.
If I've met a human being less likely to be putting together any kind of compendium of running orders, it's probably you.
Who's the second?
You are best. You are at best agnostic when it comes to running orders.
I cannot be offended until I know who's second.
Yeah, second. I'm not sure who's second, actually. Let's just say, if there was a Mount Rushmore of people who were least likely to do
bad
this,
admin,
you'd be on it on your own.
I'm the sort of person who works like this, just in a constant sense that I can't spend any time relaxing because there's always work to do.
Yeah.
But I am unwilling to prioritise or organise my life.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
Unwilling is definitely right. Speaking of great organisation, we should probably address the fact that we've got our new Prime Minister in Great Britain and Northern Ireland for October and November.
It's like a little calendar thing, and you tear off a leaf and you get a new one every month, pretty much, in the UK. It's quite exciting.
And Rishi Sunak, who is the current Prime Minister, for those of you who aren't following the tedium that is British politics, or you live abroad and don't give a shit, the thing that really made me laugh about this, well, the thing that most springs to mind, because quite a lot of it made me laugh, is, did you see on the BBC News channel, they did I think it's called a word cloud, right? It's essentially you put Rishi Sunak's name in the middle, and then using some kind of algorithm from social media or from the internet, it produces a word cloud of all the different words that are associated with him.
And people have used, like, this is kind of like people founded words, basically. These are the words that people are using to describe Rishi Sunak.
Yeah.
The BBC haven't come up with this content. This is what's out there. This is how people are describing Rishi Sunak.
And the bigger the word, the more frequently it comes up. So, like, there's some words in there like okay and capable and strong. And one is liar and one is posh. What the BBC didn't realise and what they let slip through the net was both the words cunt and twat.
Yeah, which I think it's funny, but I don't understand. Should the BBC be in a position where they are removing words that are actually in there?
Yeah.
So like the words in there, a lot of people have called him a cunt, a lot of people have called him a twat, a lot of people call him posh.
And a slimy idiot.
I don't think that the BBC, in the state that they're in and the criticism that's levelled against them at every juncture from every corner of society, they should be censoring stuff like that because it's out there. The word's in the word cloud, so then it should be used.
If you censor twat, before you know it, you're censoring arrogant backstabber and the whole edifice starts to fall down. What is your cut-off? Maybe the solution is what they did, which is to, I think, asterisk it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah, I think they did right. It was in there. I think that's defendable, in my opinion. Did you see that Rishi Sunak is known slightly differently over in Japan?
Right.
I posted this on a thread run. So basically, in Japan, there's these places called snack bars, which are basically like, they're hostess bars where salary men, they sit down after 12 hours at work, and they sit down and they smoke cigarettes and these
I'm listening.
relatively good looking women.
Okay.
Sit down next to them and engage them in polite conversation.
I'm still
and
in.
Light the cigarettes, and it's very it's indicative of a wide issue with the patriarchy. It's not sexual necessarily.
Right.
It's just a part of their entertainment nightlife thing where boring men bore off at women who you know get tips to basically talk to them. Basically, it's like a very
kind of like
sedate,
my marriage
kind of
then
strip club effectively. It's kind of like a marriage then. It's not a nice place. Chris Broad from Roger Brown dragged me on once, and I was very uncomfortable. I left within about in a half an hour.
And that's
shit.
That speaks to your character because you are an honourable, very nice chap. But,
it's not honourable. I don't like being waited on. At the best of times.
You're uncomfortable in quite a lot
women
of places.
Are not.
Going to say
I am, yeah, I'm uncomfortable with my own skin.
You're uncomfortable in your own house to the extent that you spend a lot of your time in your own shed.
I do, yeah.
And it's, anyway, carry
and it's
on
only
Rishi
get
Sunak.
Worse as I get older. So Rishi Sunak in Japanese katakana, which is the writing alphabet that allows the Japanese to describe romaji English words or borrowed words effectively. So so if you McDonald's would be Makadonorozu and like
okay,
a
yeah.
million different syllables, but it's a way of sort of every syllable's got a sign. And so his name in katakana was Rishi Sunaku. Now Sunaku is the shortening of the word snack bar. So and that's what everyone calls snack bars. So basically, Rishi Sunak was known for a very long time as in Japan as being Mr. Karaoke Hostess Bar. It is a wonderful. It's like being known as Mr. Saturday Night,
yeah,
Mr. Karaoke
right, yeah.
Hostess Bar. It's really, really good stuff.
No, he but won't
they've,
like
they've
it.
Basically they've shortened his. Yeah, exactly. They've shortened his. They've removed one of the K's out of Rishi Sunak. So now he's just Rishi Sunaku, which now avoids the unfortunate.
What I was going to say because
implication
on his state. If he sticks around long enough, which we don't know if he will or not, if he sticks around long enough to do a state visit to, or whatever it is, a visit to Japan. I love the idea of the briefing. So, Prime Minister, this is the schedule. One final thing we just need to sort out. So, if you mind just listening to this, everyone's been calling you Mr. Snack Hostess.
Mr. Karaoke
Snack
Hostess Bar.
Yeah, Karaoke Hostess Bar. Are you okay with that? Because we feel like if you make a big deal out of it, it might get worse. You best just ignore it and hope it goes away.
It was like when Japanese commentators in the World Cup couldn't say the word Eric Bakker because Bakker means idiot or twat.
What were they saying?
Good. They were just saying his number or just not. I don't think Eric Bakker was doing many things in the World Cup. To be honest, I think they were fine.
On that note, when we were doing our private test stream for the Manchester City game last night when they went to play Dortmund, so on Tuesday night as you're listening to this, one thing that was amazing was that because Pete Donaldson, my esteemed co-host, takes on everything in a completely unique way, and when we were talking about the game and stuff that was actually happening, Pete was using the numbers of the players rather than the names, and it was fucking exciting because it was a bit like watching a football match combined with going to the bingo.
Yeah, well, wasn't that how they sort of used to? They used to use like quadrants and stuff back in the day.
Yeah,
they used to go
that's where back
square
to
number
square one.
One
comes from, yeah.
Yes, back to square one and all that stuff. So I'm bringing it back a little bit. I mean, it was mainly I'm bringing it back. Mainly, it was mainly because I had a very small mobile phone screen that I couldn't really see properly, so I could only see the play.
I never thought I'd see the day where the Donaldson runs out of screens. I'll be honest with you.
I know. I've got so many screens in this bloody room, but I just need. You always need one more, and you always need one more that's bigger.
You're always one shot, one screen short. What? So, true. Pete, how's life in Donaldson world? I know you're in the shed at the moment. You're having a nice time. It's in your happy place. What's going on generally? How's life?
How's life? Fine. I've parked my car. There's a big like kind of like crab apple tree outside the outside the house.
Can you use the crab apples for anything, or are they just kind of too sour?
They're pretty rancid at the moment. They're falling off trees and just like just splattering
make your stomach
all of everyone's cars
as well,
and
crab
stuff.
Apple.
Yeah, and so like so I had to take this morning I had to go and take the car for a bit of. There's like a little pressure washer in the garage quite near our house, and I just. Put me a couple of quid in and just absolutely burned it off. But I didn't realise you're not supposed to apply wax to your windscreen. So I started driving and it suddenly got very, very cloudy.
Yeah,
I was like, no!
I mean, that's just a common sense thing, isn't it?
Well, I just assumed it's not going to do any harm, but it did do some harm. Nearly crashed it at school.
Do you know, like back in the day before they had like proper special effects, if like a particular Hollywood actress or something was and this is, you know, this is an awful sign of the times, but quite an interesting point, I think. If an actress was, they perceived her to be getting old, or she wasn't quite as young as she used to be, one of the things they would do is they would put Vaseline on the lens.
Yes.
To soften it. Is that what you were doing? To make yourself look like a sexy driver?
Pretty much to me. Who's that hot guy in this Fiat 500? Well, so, I'm sort of...
You can't see where he's going.
I'm in a little bit of a... And this is... I don't mind talking about this because I listen to Sean 5 Live with Ellis James and John Robbins. And all John Robbins does is talk about leasing or buying a Kia Sportage. I'm thinking of leasing a car, Luke.
What do you mean?
I'm thinking of leasing a car. I got spoiled when I was on holiday...
You've got a bigger car.
I've got a car, but it is very small, and the dogs don't really fit in it properly, and it's actually quite uncomfortable on long journeys. And I do take it on quite a lot of long journeys these days, so I might get a slightly larger car.
So you're going to sell your car and lease a new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
leasing,
good.
Leasing seems to be the... Is that a good thing
that's
to
what
do? Because I'm so... Is that what you do? So you lease a car?
Yeah, pretty much.
How does that
yeah.
work then? So you there's a bit of a deposit and you just pay an amount every month, and then after 3 years, they go, do you want another one?
Yeah, you kind of have options. I think it obviously depends which place you go to, but you have options where you take a newer one, or you buy that car outright, or you sell it, or whatever. Yeah. There's like a lot of different options you can take.
I've done that for years,
and it works fine for me. You haven't got to worry about it.
If you absolutely sort of wipe it out and smash it up, what happens? Do you have to pay for the whole thing?
Oh, no, they just say, oh, don't worry about it, mate. Do you want another one? What do you think happens? Fucking living in
no, but how does it work? If I absolutely total the car, if I total a Kia Sportage, what's going
to
happen?
Excuse me, I'm looking to lease a car with zero consequences for my own actions. Is this something you could help me with?
Oh, dear.
Where are you going to fucking get it? Narnia?
I don't know. I watched a man on. I tell you, if you've ever been on YouTube, I think I've found the most boring corner of YouTube, and it's men, British men of a certain age, reviewing car leasing deals online.
That's amazing.
This is the hottest deal for the car leasing thing, and they're just listing Toyota Corollas, you know. It's just like, what is this about?
But so this is what you're doing for research, though, is it? So it's obviously serving a purpose.
Yeah, but it's boring, isn't it? I'm watching, I'm like, fuck, this is so boring.
So I think it's a really kind of hassle-free option. I can't say that I'm an expert on it, but I can speak from my own experiences, and it's been fine for me. You get, I mean, the one I do, you get your name on the car. It's like your car. I think you get your name on the pink slip, as it were, and as long as you pay every month, it's kind of no big deal. One of the things they do as well, my one, is you get a service every year as well.
Right, okay.
And most of the stuff's completely covered. I think the only time, I've had it for mine for almost 4 years now, the only time I've ever had to pay anything was about £200. It was all included as part of the deal. And the one thing that'd be interesting to our listeners about the situation with you leasing a car is that that's one of the only places really in the UK culturally where you can properly haggle over a good deal.
Right, okay.
Which is a nightmare for you. It's nightmare fuel for you, that.
I'll do it on email.
I'll do it on email. Absolute coward.
I'm an absolute hag. Look, I can haggle with the best of them over email.
I'll do all of it. I'll do all the histrionics.
Have me paying more.
Out of principle. My one, I remember when I did mine, I even made to get up and walk out and left and waited for them to call me, and they called me back in the next day and I got a better deal. Gotta do it.
I know you gotta do it, but
they've got wriggle room.
I look back, right, and I look back, look at like our Prime Minister, right, Rishi Sunak. He obviously married into an ungodly amount of money, with his partnership. But he made a fair amount of money, respectively in the city in his 20s, right?
Yeah,
made shitloads of money there, right? Now, my understanding of the city is that a lot of these deals and a lot of these things, how it works, they appear to be involve managing relationships and almost being like a PR person, kind of like managing relationships, keeping deals going, negotiating, like all of this stuff that requires a certain amount of steel, determination, but mainly charisma in many ways.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think that man has no fucking charisma.
He's also very small. much
is he very small? Is he very small? Is
he's very a small? Very, very small man. And physically, I mean. I don't mean morally. Mm. I mean, I don't really... Maybe he is morally as well, I'm not sure. But he's a very small man in terms of his physical presence as well, which I don't know if that is of interest, but it feels like it might be. But the thing about him is he's clearly very bright. A good degree in PPE from Oxford and Fulbright Scholar and all the rest of it. And then obviously became, a fund manager in the city, didn't he, for some hedge fund or was a partner somewhere. And he was at Goldman Sachs for a bit as well. But you're right. It's kind of interesting because you would expect someone of that level of success to be very, very good interpersonally. And he doesn't come across like that. Yeah. He comes across as a bit kind of wooden, a bit strange. What you're trying to say is like someone like, you're talking about interpersonal skills. Here I am.
Get me involved, for crying out loud.
I'll tell you what, as a little audition, I'll go and get you a new car. I'll get you a good deal on the lease. And if people think I've done a good job on that, put me in the cabinet.
Yeah, okay, fine. That's a deal.
Not at all.
I just don't like the idea of walking in and going and just being a hard ass. I would just prefer it if the prices. That's why I like Japan. The prices, There's no tipping. Everyone gets paid a relatively fair wage. Just fucking get it done.
I see it as a game to be played.
I hate screwing people over.
You're not. Yeah. It's a game to be played. They expect it. Like basically,
I know they do.
If you go into a car showroom for whatever capacity to get a car, whether it's a lease, a buy, whatever. And you walk off paying the fucking listed price. They cannot believe their luck. They are in the pub on Friday laughing at you. And you can't let that stand. You cannot let that stand. You've got to play their game.
But they work in a car dealership. I don't care. Like they can laugh all they want. At the end of the day, they spend most of their time talking about fucking Bluetooth connections and stuff.
Like, yeah, but to be fair, that is true. But they but so you'd rather chuck someone like an extra, you can easily get a grand off a car easily,
right? Yeah, okay. I mean so they give you an offer, I email in with my email address that like strongboy99 strongboy99@gmail.com take no prisoners 79@gmail.com
beta cock at hotmail.com
bigdog_yard@gmail.com And I go, listen, I like the look of this car and I like the look of you, but I don't like the look of this deal.
Yeah.
You're going to have to sweeten it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pour some semolina into this fucking mix, mate.
Is that known as the sweetest thing, semolina, is it?
The sweet... is semolina the rice? Or like... Yeah, semolina is like sweet rice, isn't it? It's like
I would have started with sugar, though. Don't put sugar in your gas tank. I mean, that's the last thing you want to be doing.
Don't do that.
So I think it's a very good idea. I think I speak on behalf of the whole Luke and Pizza community when I say you should absolutely try and go and lease another new car. I think that'd be a good thing to do. I would personally not mind if you spent loads of money you didn't need to spend on it. I think it would be a good entertainment. But I think for your own sake, you need to get in there. You need to put your sunglasses on. You need to stroll in there like Vince McMahon walking down the aisle. And you need to fucking say... I'm here to do
business.
Are
you going to do for me, boys?
Yeah, exactly.
What are you going to do for me?
But the problem is, the way I fall down is when they start asking me questions about cars specifically because I don't know anything about it.
Right.
So I'm the worst combination of ignorant and belligerent.
What do you look for in a car? Like cup holders and fuzzy dice?
Not really. I just got the car that I thought looked all right and it's comfortable for long journeys because we mostly do long journeys in it and it was big enough and comfortable enough and all that good stuff.
I'm a tall man. Can
exactly, that's part of it. Yeah. That is definitely part of it. I could even get in your feet at 500, I wouldn't have thought so. Anyway.
You know, I've offered, you won't go in.
No, it's true. I'm not. Yeah, you did try and give me a lift somewhere once. I didn't need it. I didn't want to take it.
Let's
have a break. When we come back, we'll do some more of this, but we might do an email too as well. So stick around and we'll see you in a sec.
Lovely stuff.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, we're back with the Luke and Pete Show.
Oh, we've got to do batteries, haven't we? Sorry.
Hey, we've got to do batteries.
Yeah.
We are the battery daddies. If you saw on our socials recently, we have taken receipt of a battery daddy. Or certainly, I mean, is the battery I guess the battery daddy is just the suitcase, the little armoured suitcase for your batteries.
But I almost sliced individual my holes off for different sizes.
That's true. Yeah, you did slice your finger off, unfortunately. So, RIP, Luke's fingers.
Yeah.
Right, what have we got this week? Dan Barrett. Thank you, Dan Barrett. The backstory in this battery system submission is that my wife has a small kitchen scale that went dead. Mm-hmm. She opened it up, took the batteries out and walked over to the trash. It was at that point I leapt into action and flew across the room, saving the batteries from the bin. My wife looked at me like I was a crazy person, and I explained the battery cult I belong to on a podcast. Dan Barrett,
yeah.
Excellent work. You do indeed belong to a battery cult. Frigo, which is a lovely design. I'm enjoying the font. I'm enjoying the flair they've got with the R. And super heavy duty. Frigo super heavy duty. Any love, Luke?
It's a great story, Dan. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for intervening in your callous wife's actions, to be applauded. Sadly, Frigo's not a new player. We first came across Frigos from our friend Oliver back in April of 2018, can you believe?
Over
4 years ago, so it's not a new player. We've had quite a few submissions since, but thank you very much for sending it in.
Yeah, and I like in the background, you can clearly see that he's outside, like he's been banished to from the house.
If you're taking a photo of that battery, you're doing it in the garden, kid.
You're doing it in the garden. And beautiful macro setting on his phone. I can see every last fibre of his fingerprint.
To be applauded. Wonderful.
Anyway,
to be applauded.
Darren from Sheffield. Hi, battery daddies. Years ago, I bought one of those mini tactical flashlights from Amazon. It's one of those that come with a strobe effect to ostensibly blind any assailant before you can bash their head in with the flashlight's chunky steel bezel. Anyway, I noticed the flashlight power was finally on the way out, so it came time to change the batteries, and I was greeted by these LYW beauties. Hopefully a new player, as I can't recall I've ever having heard them on any episode. Keep up the good work and severely underappreciated work of cataloguing strange batteries. Darren from Sheffield, LYW.
Yeah, so Darren...
reminds me of that band that I think Bam Margera was in.
That's CKY, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's in a bad way these days, Bam. Bless him.
He's in a bad way, yeah.
Darren, you are the third person to send in LYW. Our friend James sent them in July of 2018, and it was also followed up by Valkyrie22, whose real name is unknown, who sent some in on the 1st of May 2021. So you're the third person to send those, and I'm afraid not a new player.
Never mind. But it's good to see the Shenzhen Li Yawang Battery Company represented once again.
Still
on the
going.
Hello to Curtis Mack. While this battery submission is almost certainly not allowed for a number of reasons, it's not a battery in my possession, and the brand is named after the product it came in, I simply found it hilarious to see, and I thought it was worth sharing. While looking for a replacement drive belt for my old Sony Walkman, that's what I like to see. It is people who are going around eBay looking for very specifically taught and sized Little Rubber Bands. Yeah. It's good stuff. Enjoyable. Because they're the first things that perish. The second things that perish is the horrible rubber coating that people put on, like non-slip coating that manufacturers put on laptops in the late 90s and early noughties. It starts to rot and it comes off on your hands and it becomes very sticky. Mm. It's bloody horrible.
So you respect the fact that... our friend here, Curtis, rather than saying, look, it's a Sony Walkman from presumably the 90s, I'm going to probably buy another device to play music. He's searching through eBay looking for something to fix it with.
They were the best ones. Nowadays, the only sort of tape drives you can sort of buy, they're all based on the same one or two sort of cheap Chinese models, like the actual innards of them. Yeah. They're always built around the same little thing because there's no point in like recreating the wheel when there's no need for them. Mm. But they're very cheap and they're not particularly well made, and the sound reproduction isn't very good. Same with like CD players. Same with, they're all built around one or two very cheap to make little devices, little bits of engineering.
Yeah.
And so these ones are like they came from a time where sound quality actually mattered, and you know, instead of
you sound like Neil Young and his Pono.
Certainly do. Upon closer inspection in the Sony Walkman AA hall, I found the seller was not only selling a very old battery, but a very exploded and disintegrating battery at that. I love that the seller had the chutzpah to list and sell a leaky, acidic mess of a battery. Hopefully, there is an equally insane buyer that would take their offer. So basically,
I think he might be presenting the show. EBay,
this person is selling a genuine Sony Walkman AA battery, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's exploded. It's all over the place. The top has come off.
The brilliant part of the eBay listing is there's a photo of an exploded Sony Walkman battery, as you rightly say, and it says, genuine Sony Walkman AA battery. Please read description, right? You scroll down to the description. Please note this battery is leaked, is in poor condition and not usable. Thanks. What a salesman.
But why are you selling it then? Why are you selling it?
What a salesman.
Like, do people sort of take off the plastic and... I could probably lowball this guy, I reckon.
Yeah,
do people take off the plastic and put... A fiver for one AA Sony Walkman battery that's exploded. Yeah. Like, it's completely unusable. Do they take off the plastic and wrap other newer batteries in them, maybe? That would probably work.
Wait, I think you should buy it.
Yeah.
Buy it.
So I just eat it.
I'll pay half of it. I'll give you £2.50. Buy it.
Thanks, man. It's very kind.
And we can see what it looks like when it turns up, because that is a genuine AA Sony Walkman battery, mate. Maybe they're there.
Maybe, I mean, if he's selling that at that price, he clearly knows something that we don't. And you see this on Facebook Marketplace all the time. The amount of like NES and sort of Game Boy games that just that people are selling them for like 50 times what they're worth. And they're just having a go. They've just heard that retro games are big, and they've found a couple in their kids' stuff in the loft, and they're just putting them on eBay, putting them on Facebook Marketplace, and it's just absolute dog shit.
Not a day goes past where you're not on Facebook Marketplace.
Correct. Yeah. It's become my top three, really. Kotaku for video games, Reddit for all kinds of nonsense, and Twitter and Facebook
and
Marketplace.
Is it fair to say the car booty stops over the winter months, so you kind of just switch to Facebook Marketplace?
Well, you can't trust the weather, really. If it's not bloody freezing, the rain is absolutely dreadful.
But do they still run them?
So, yeah, they still run them, yeah. They just have a lot of... There's just a lot of plastic sheets over stuff.
Fine, you have to be pretty dedicated to go there.
Correct.
I would say.
And I am.
Thank you very much, Curtis, for making us aware of that. I will do my very best. I mean, he's emailed all the way from Calgary in Canada. I'll do my very best to get Pete to buy that battery because it's still available for sale at time of recording. You know, you cool. could go and get it and we could put it in the battery daddy. That's what we could do.
Yeah, we could put it in the battery daddy. That's where it belongs.
The possibilities are endless. But would it leak over all our other battery collection? If so, that might not
be the best. Yes, it would. Yes, it would. It'd be disgusting.
Okay, we might have to seal it first. But anyway, let's get out of here. That's enough for one Thursday show. We will be back, of course, on Monday after a lovely weekend. We hope of a nice relaxing weekend. Monday's Halloween, so maybe we'll dredge up a couple of spooky stories if Pete and I aren't spooky enough for you. So we'll see you then. Hello@lukeandpeacher.com to email in with your battery observations and with your other emails as well. We'll try and get to some of them as soon as we can. and we are at Luke and Pete Show on social media. If you've enjoyed the show, and lots of people lovelily, is that word lovelily, send us lovelily messages saying how much they love it. If you do love it, drop a 5-star review wherever you listen. That would be really helpful for us. We'd appreciate that too. Peter, say goodbye.
I wish I hadn't gone on Facebook Marketplace. There's a lovely Atari ST on there.
Oh, well, this might take a few seconds, eh? It's goodbye from me as well.
Bye-bye.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.